Back Talk is an extension of the long-running award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Jordan, the guest here to banter.
And this is Back Talk. All right, now let me banter by opening with a favorite line of mine from Shakespeare. We must have a very high-class film here. Tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day. Well, Jordan, wait a minute. The film is The Tomorrow War.
It is.
Is this Shakespeare?
It is not. It is not.
I thought you were going to say that. What is it?
So it's a summer blockbuster that's been pumped out onto streaming from Amazon as I think one of their first, if not their first, big release straight to streaming.
You know, you mentioned that, and I think you may be right, and yeah. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, they're. It's interesting to see how some of these streaming services are going to be rolling out. You know, they've already obviously started. HBO Max is doing interesting things and stuff. But yeah, this is a movie that was, you know, pretty clearly, I think, probably intended to be on a big screen as they first got started. Yes. And it'd be interesting to know during that process how they decided on straight to video.
I always wonder if they'll send it to theaters after a while.
Yeah, that's a good question. It would probably be a B movie. It would probably have to have some clear success on the back end to warrant people wanting to see it again and clamoring for it to be on a big screen, something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And basically the story is, Jordan, what's this about?
It's a war that is going to be taking place in the future that is going to destroy human civilization from some aliens that have come. But we find out about that war existing 28 years earlier.
I think we're at 24 or something like that.
Yeah, 2023, I think, is when the movie's starting.
So we're about 51 then, 2051.
Yeah. Anyway, they during some sort of get together at a house with Chris Pratt and his wife, they in the midst of that, some people from the future come into the present and tell them about that war and that people are going to start being recruited to come try to stop it.
Yeah, it's different from the usual.
It is. Probably a little convoluted. They rush through. I think some of that intro, that I think it would have been done better service to the rest of the movie if they gave just a little bit more on the front end to kind of settle that situation and stuff.
Yeah, it's a good point.
But that's pretty much the crux of it, is that, you know, Chris Pratt, the clear lead of the film, is being recruited to go into the future to try to help battle this war. So
now he's a combat veteran.
Yes.
Who's teaching science high school.
Mm-hmm.
And needs a challenge.
Yeah, he's early in the film he's being not allowed to receive a position, that his dream job, because of a lack of certain type of experience.
That's right. Yes.
And so of course it comes around that he ends up getting this other type of experience in life that obviously is going to change him and his family and everything. So they try to have some, you know, there's some different little twists and things throughout the movie that they kind of throw in here and there. Nothing mind-blowing, but some, you know, kind of interesting little twists to keep you on your toes as you go through, and some, you know, relatively solid performances.
I think Pratt is durable as a hero. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed in the lines he's given in this film. I would like them to have a little more spunk, a little more irony, a little more sarcasm, and he doesn't.
He tries to put a little bit in. There's even a line when he's getting getting harnessed in, essentially, to go forward, where he makes a joke and he says, "Well, there are no jokes in the future." I guess that's what I struggled with the movie. Some was even some of the tone of it. They tried to have some comedic elements in there. They got Sam Richardson in there. That's clearly the kind of comic relief of the film. But some of the tone stuff, they just don't balance. And it well enough where, you know, it, the, it being the, 25th anniversary of Independence Day, the movie, not obviously the holiday,
it's right? Been a
lot longer, but that movie is, you know, with it being the 25th anniversary, there have been some more, some people writing articles and things and podcasts and stuff about it. And that movie was really, really influential. Even, the Roland Emmerich, the director, Steven Spielberg, told him, "You've changed something here."
Good. Yes.
With the way that you've made this movie. And it came with the family, or the family elements, caring about the characters in a very special way.
I was going to ask you, that's what you would...
Yeah, some of that. And then also, I think, some of the comedy within it. Like, Independence Day's got some real legit laughs and stuff in it, but they balance it with... You can still have that moment with President Whitmore's famous speech in Independence Day that it still has gravitas.
Yes, that's right.
You know, they don't ruin it with comedy and stuff or anything. And the Tomorrow War, there's just these kind of elements where you're starting to, you know, it's trying to be serious, I think, most of the time, but then they kind of throw in these, I don't know, they just don't quite nail the landing with some of the comedic elements of it. But, but anyway, that it is fun as movie guys to see when you have a kind of shift in something like an Independence Day, and it affects even the Marvel universe and things like that, the way that they make some of those movies. And Tomorrow War, I think, is definitely one that you touched on, family, you know, as being a major part of this, which it is. I mean, it's central to this.
Yeah. I mean, he and his daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I'll spoil it a little bit by saying he meets his daughter in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that home and family theme is just played out in so many, even F9.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel, mm-hmm. his family, I mean, and his brother in right. this case, frequently his father and daughter.
Yeah.
If I wanted to take the time to research it, George, I bet you I would have a dozen films in the last few years that have had father-daughter connections.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's been central for a lot of stuff for sure.
Is there any similarity, you think, with F9?
I haven't seen
it. You haven't
F9
seen
yet,
it, yeah, but you know enough about it.
Yeah, the family stuff is so huge to that movie, both on, I mean, clearly both on and off set, you know, because they've talked about Vin Diesel felt the need to give The Rock a hard time when he first started on, because he felt like he needed to work, he needed to earn his chops to be a part of their on set family, and so, you know, just which is funny, but it's just the yeah that stuff is very key.
Lots of transformations in F9. You'll see Jason Statham coming back now as good guy.
Okay,
you know, and he's fun to see.
Yeah,
and you know, there is a similar experience, except that F9 is really so much fun in a theater.
Okay,
with a Dolby and a big screen.
Yeah,
and as I have mentioned many times, this is the time to go to the theater because there's nobody else there.
Yeah.
So bring your friends and you can be raucous and talk to each other and talk to the screen and just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
As movies were meant to be made. That's why I think our opening conversation about this as an Amazon presentation is all very nice.
Uh-huh.
But boy, it, when you're talking something as epic as this, you really want to have the big screen.
Yep. Yeah, you do, and it's and that's why I wasn't too. I don't know. I'm not. I don't work in the business, so I don't have as much, you know, at stake as some folks do who are. But I was kind of excited by the way HBO Max did it, where it was theater and streaming at the same time, and you kind of have this choice. And for people like you and me,
yeah,
I mean, like I have HBO Max, and I still went to see Godzilla in a theater. I went to see. I've gone to see some of the movies that they've put out on streaming in the theater, just because it's I want to see those movies in a theater.
Oh yes,
but I think it's cool that people have access to, you know, see it at home if they want, and it gives us the barometer for going forward. I mean, at some point that needed to, we needed to face facts that a lot of people wanted to watch this stuff at home.
Yeah, so, I know. It scares me when I sit in that theater.
Yeah,
and they're trying so hard, and I, you know, it has to be though the size of AMC to withstand the losses.
Yeah.
That they must be taking. Now they and F9 at our local, they were playing it every hour.
Wow.
And I'm not sure there was any more than a half dozen people.
Yeah.
Each time the F9, and so what about? I'm kind of interested. Besides Chris Pratt, he's produced this film, Tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I did see that in the credits that he was.
So he's a canny guy. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just really interested in his. plans, because a lot of friends of mine, you know, we fell in love with him on Parks and Rec.
Yes.
As a total goofball, pudgy, you know, kind of just kind of dim-witted, but yeah, also funny, just hilarious guy. And people talk about him from that show, Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman. Anyway, those guys, they talk about him as being one of the most, of all people that they've ever worked with in Hollywood, one of the most quick-witted people they've ever been around. Huh. And he has just been, you know, from Guardians of the Galaxy on.
That's right. That's his big.
He has become an action guy. And yes. And it looks like, you know, ahead on his IMDb, it's all Marvel and some other action things. And I just don't. I mean, you know, obviously the Jurassic World movies kept that going.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, for me, he's fine in this movie. But I just don't. I don't buy him as like this action hero guy. Like, he just is too. There's a acuteness to him that I just don't think.
That's right. Yes.
He should try to be casting himself against. Yeah. I mean, it worked for Guardians. That's a great role for him to be able to be goofy and funny and stuff while being an action star. Some, but then I know with Jurassic World, it worked within the world of that movie, but people started talking about him as like the next Harrison Ford. And I was like, no, like that's, I mean, he just doesn't have that manliness to him, you know? And like, so I don't know. It's, I would love to just see him do a comedy or, you know, try to get, do something that's his natural,
yes, that's right.
You know, what he's naturally at. It's good for him getting buff and everything stuff. Like, I'm sure that's exciting and fun to do and stuff. But I think this movie is good, but not great. And is, I think, a clear step in the direction of like, not outside of the Marvel world. I don't know how well it's in Jurassic World. I don't know how well it's going to work as him as a standalone.
Well, sure. You don't know
without existing IP or something.
You know who the worst case of this, I thought, is reminding me of the guy who used to play in the Mummy films.
Oh, Brendan Fraser.
Right.
Well, he really dove into those like goofy things too. He did like the extremes both ways. Yes, he has one of the weirdest careers of anybody in history. I think there's a bit of a renaissance going on with him right now too.
Yes.
I think some people mentioned, I haven't watched, but I think he's doing kind of the McConaughey, you know, like we're starting to do some indie things and stuff like that and make a comeback. But man, what a weird career that dude had.
Well, the Tomorrow War is not all about Chris Pratt.
It's not. And there's some good people in it. You were talking about his daughter. And,
Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even know if I've ever heard anyone say her name, so I'm not sure exactly how it's pronounced. But good. Handmaid's Tale seems to have kind of made a name for herself from that. That was what I knew her from. So it was fun to see her in something different, an action movie.
She's a young woman, maybe in her 30s in this. She's Colonel Murray.
Yeah.
And, I guess I won't
spoil
it.
It's nice to see her, even in this movie, get to smile some and stuff. Because Handmaid's Tale, she is so dour all the time. And so I felt like I was meeting a whole nother actor, you know. But I'll tell you, it's not much of a role, but I genuinely I want Betty Gilpin to keep getting some
Betty Gilpin
stuff,
is terrific.
I really like her a lot.
And, yes.
Did you see that movie, The Hunt? That
of
was
course I did, and that's exactly
I
what I'm thinking.
That movie, and she was fantastic.
She was. Talk about kick butt.
Yeah.
She is good. Now, she plays Chris Pratt's wife in this one.
Yeah, not a lot to do in this one, but it's one of those roles that I think you really get to see the chops of. I mean, it's a stereotypical role in movies of the wife that gets kind of left behind as the rest of the movie goes on.
I know.
But you get to see in moments like that kind of some of the chops of an actress when they know it's not a role that has too much to do, but they give it what they can.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought she was really good.
Yeah,
in it.
I did too.
And I want to see her get more stuff because I think she has got a lot of range.
Now, maybe playing the usual type, but maybe a little bit different. Chris Pratt's dad,
J.K. Simmons.
What do you think about him in this?
He's good. He brings some of that kind of. I know you've mentioned him as like that kind of like an angry, dark kind of scowling.
Yes,
guy.
He does.
He can play. I mean, he's always, what he always has in every role is confidence. I mean, I don't know if J.K. Simmons can not be confident. You know, like that's just what emanates from him all the time. And he brings a nice, kind of energy to the film.
He's a rebellious dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't have a problem taking his shirt off.
Right.
Since the guy is really buff, for crying out loud.
I mean, he's got to be like mid-60s or something least. Like that. Yeah. And he's jacked.
And, you know, he comes in at various points and you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But initially, it doesn't seem like he and Son are copacetic.
Yeah.
They're, and that's good. But you can tell the formula is always the same.
Yeah. It was funny. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that character. Did you end up seeing Palm Springs?
No.
It was, that's Hulu. One of my favorite movies of last year, Andy Samberg, and it's kind of a Groundhog Day kind of movie.
Yes, yes.
And J.K. Simmons has a small military-ish kind of role like this in that movie. So it was kind of, those are my last two J.K. Simmons things. And so it was kind of funny to see him playing.
Well, he got the Oscar for that role in
Whiplash.
Whiplash. How about that for
a whole decade?
Isn't that?
I love that movie. Oh.
And he plays the stern teacher.
Yeah.
And it seems to fit in every way.
Yeah.
His persona.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, what? Now here we are.
If I could say real quick, I want to give Sam Richardson a shout out because I know we talked about it. But he was, while he was kind of pigeonholed into that specific role, he was funny and charming and stuff, and I thought brought a nice change of pace to the movie.
And so F9 will have a couple of characters, like that, clearly meant for comic relief, and just natural for it. I don't know why they always have to be minorities, but I guess that, you know, that works out that way, whatever that is. George, so here we are. I'm typically a cheerleader. You're a little bit more balanced than I am when it comes to movies, but I want to cheerlead this movie just because I want to cheerlead a movie where I see people's good intentions. But why wouldn't somebody see The Tomorrow War?
Well, I don't know if it's to say they wouldn't see it. I think it's just a movie that is important to know some stuff going in that it's, you know, to me, it's just not a great movie. Overall, it's got a lot of parts that aren't, it's just not expecting that you're going to go in and get an Independence Day or Jurassic Park or
something.
It's going to be, it's nothing that's going to like change your mind or like elevate the genre or something like that. So I would say take that out of, just know that going in. And know that it's long. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes and it did not need to be that. But there's enough there of exciting moments and the aliens are, you know, good CGI.
How about those ugly dudes?
Yep. They are gruesome and, and in a good way and stuff. And it's, for a movie that is kind of surprisingly PG-13.
Isn't that amazing?
There is a guy that I was interested in it and finding out, cause at one point Sam Richardson says shit, I think 50 times in a row. I don't know if that's exaggerating.
I think you're right. Yeah.
It just made me intrigued, you know, MPAA wise, that I was like, oh, so you can do that as many times as you want. It doesn't affect. So anyway, but the aliens are pretty scary.
Well, don't they blow somebody's head off?
Yeah.
I mean, right clean off.
Yeah. So it definitely pushes the, if you're looking for some, don't think of it as a PG-13 movie that's, you know, that's scaling back trying to get a PG-13 rating. It pushes the edges. So in a good way, I think. So yeah, those aliens they're pretty creepy and they're good.
Yeah. There's a little bit of alien in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have these terrific teeth.
Yeah.
And this one has tentacles.
Yeah, it had and that seems to be again a theme dating. I don't know if that kind of started with Independence Day, but it's, as you noted, with A Quiet Place, Independence Day. It's all these aliens seem to have. They have to have lots of arms.
Yes,
excuse me. And these are no different.
Yeah,
and multiple legs, couple tentacles.
Yeah,
yeah. They, they power through with rows and rows of teeth.
Definite reptilian motif. Yeah. And I wonder if that goes back to our dinosaur roots somewhere.
Yeah, very well could be. They do seem to, it feels like a lot of these aliens are, that's a good way to put it, where it's like a pulling, it's there's something ancient about them.
Yes.
Even though they're the ones that have figured out how to fly to different planets and stuff like that. The actual physical nature of them is it feels ancient or something.
I did like that twist where they've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
I liked that.
And that they're not
aren't
the ones that were in doing the flying and the
So, you know, having to go up way north to find them, I kind of liked that idea. Yeah. But it was anticlimactic, for God's sakes. They could have stopped that movie three or four times before. So it's on your home screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's Amazon Prime. And with your subscription,
yep.
I think they could do a whole lot better until they can get out to the theater and see Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to
in
Black Widow. So, Jordan, we're not bereft of movies to critique. Right. And it looks like it's getting better.
Yep.
And I'm getting drawn back into theaters once again.
It's all just a countdown to Top Gun Maverick. That's all our lives are right now, my opinion. So.
But then after that, it's going to be James Bond.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Very good.